Did you know that there is a 151-year-old body that appears to be improving with age? Vladimir Lenin, the Russian communist leader, died in 1924, and Joseph Stalin had his dead body preserved in order to be an icon of a system of government that we now know enslaved and slaughtered its own people. Russian scientists to the present day continue to remove the body from the glass from time to time so they can work on the cadaver. And they have found ways to improve Lenin's appearance. How? By adding plastics and other materials that make Lenin look more lifelike. They're preserving Lenin's body to show the incorruptibility of the communist system. If you went to Red Square, you'd see Lenin's body looks more lifelike each year. But the reality is that though Lenin's body looks alive, Lenin is dead. He cannot talk or move. And the corrupt system his cadaver represents is likewise a way to death. Hi, I'm Pastor Joel of Heart City Church, and we've been looking at James 2, where James is showing us that there is a way that many folks believe leads to life, but it is a way of death. James said in verse 17, "Faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." James says a faith that saves works. A living faith is seen in its activity. You see, one of the great lies that folks were believing in James' day was that you could confess Jesus as Lord, but not live a life devoted to Him by caring for Jesus' needy brothers and sisters. In fact, Israel's history, you read the Old Testament, was filled with folks who professed God but then lived for themselves and not for others. My friends, that lie has not died in our day. It has actually been shined up so lots of folks continue to believe it. Many people I know profess faith. Maybe they asked the Lord Jesus in their heart at some point because they were told that this was their ticket to heaven. But it is clear that they are the Lord of their own life, not the Lord Jesus. They are not found serving His body, His church in any way. The faith without works is a corrupt system thriving in the present day. And my heart grieves when I realize I'm talking to a cadaver who looks alive, but this person is not. Now, if my word sounds harsh or judgmental, perhaps you need to listen to James, starting in verse 20. James says, "Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that said, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God." You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. James' message is pretty blunt, isn't it? But don't miss verse 23. I love that line. Abraham was called a friend of God. Wouldn't you like to hear that of yourself, that you were a friend of God? Well, the way you become a friend of God is by believing in God, and that is accounted to you as righteousness. So what does James mean then when he says Abraham was justified by works? In fact, if you've read Paul, you might remember Paul says, "For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law," Romans 3:28. Yet James says here, you see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. What is James getting at? James is aware that the passage about Abraham from Genesis 15 teaches justification by faith. Basically, we are declared to be in right standing with God from the moment we first believe. Abraham looked at the stars, believed God, and then was justified before God. But James is showing us that Abraham's faith demonstrated it was alive by his works. His works confirmed God's declaration that he was a friend of God. His works complete his faith, show it to be genuine. Another way to see it is that in the offering of his son, Abraham's faith matured. Do you remember how James began this letter? Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. James is saying Abraham's faith flowered. I shudder just to think about what Abraham was willing to do because he loved God that much. Abraham and Sarah, childless for all those years. And then God performs this wonderful miracle. Isaac was the apple of Abraham's eye. How he must have loved that boy. Yet Abraham loved God so much that he could take his precious child and offer him to God as a sacrifice. I think, sadly, Abraham's commitment can lose its shock value because we've heard this story so many times. But Abraham's faith flowered at this moment. And what a beautiful picture we have of a living faith that proves we are friends of God. Now, there was only one Abraham called to such a task, but nonetheless, this should cause us to examine ourselves to see if there are any Isaacs in our lives that we would not be able to sacrifice for God, our friend. Remember who you are and who you belong to.